Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Man, what a crappy fourth. Another crappy fourth. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than the Rockets' fourth quarter last night. That was just pitiful. A really good basketball game right up until then, where the Rockets scored 13 points in the fourth quarter. 13 points. Alpi was just awful. Awful. You know, they changed things up at halftime. They changed things up with Alpi at halftime. They put Castle on him and Wembanyama. He was able to freelance and come over and help out on Alpi, and it just stymied the Rockets offense. It was just awful. I mean, they couldn't get it. They were trying one-on-one. They were moving the ball so well in the first three quarters, and they were playing some good basketball, and then it just, I don't know what the hell happened, but another fourth quarter disintegration last night against the Spurs, and the Spurs won it by 12. Were you able to watch it in Mobile?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing on stupid television. It was. We got a problem in Houston. This is. The first quarter was good. The second quarter was okay. The third quarter, I thought it was starting to trail off before the fourth. But I mean, the fourth was obviously an abomination. But they kept closing. In the fourth, they started closing early. And then you realized once they got the lead, which was like, 87, 86, something like that. Once they took their first lead, you realized, man, they have lost so much momentum. They're going to need someone to get it back. KD started throwing up bricks. No. Alpi was a non-factor. Like you said, Wembanyama started coming over weak side. We got a block on KD near the end of the – no, he didn't get that. Did he get that block or someone else get the block on him near the end of the shot clock? But they were already down by then.
Wemby got the block.
So Wemby did get that block. And then Wemby got the backside block on Alpi when Alpi was trying to back down Castle, I think. But it was just bad. I mean, this team right now, Amen is a non-factor as a shooter. Yeah, just a pure shooter. So they're not really guarding. They really weren't guarding him. I mean, it's 11 of 23 from the field. It's 23 shots. But they don't really consider him too much as a shooter, as an offensive threat. You have Jabari can just disappear at any time. And he was a non-factor yesterday offensively. But not one of the problems, I don't think. But it really was like, and Alpi was really good in the first half, challenging. He went at him pretty hard. He went at him actually really hard. Wembanyama, he went at him really hard. In the second half, you really didn't get anything from him. In the fourth quarter, you got very little from KD when you needed it. He got some points later, but he was bricking shots early in the quarter. And then, I don't know, man. The ball gets sticky. There's no flow to it. The offense is setting up. Reed Sheppard had the ball in his hands one time, and they're checking him about 38 feet from the basket, and he can't get past the defender.
Well, and he throws a cross court. I mean, it was just like, what do you? They don't have somebody that can just start. They don't have somebody.
It seems simple.
Listen,
but it's an issue.
Alpi in the first half, you're right. I mean, he broke Wembanyama's ankles on one.
On one of them, yeah.
Yeah, on the Wemby on the one, and then in the fourth quarter. He couldn't hit it was awful.
Alpi doesn't change.
He was 7 for 12 before the fourth quarter, 0 for 8 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's like when things when he starts thinking, it's a study long, study wrong thing. When Alpi has the ball in his hands too long, the success rate diminishes. The longer he has possession of the ball in terms of making his move, the longer he fakes, turns, his success rate plummets. The longer that happens. When he's just getting, and I've always felt this way, when he's getting into it quickly and working with one consistent flow or is very decisive and instinctive with his moves, he's really, really good. When he's thinking about what he's doing as he's doing it, it just it starts to break down. And he can have one of those quarters like that. I don't really want to put this on. I mean, Alpe was bad in the fourth quarter. I didn't think Durant was good in the fourth quarter. I don't want to put it on those guys because this is a team issue right now. This is a lousy team in the fourth quarter, and this has been going on for the entirety of January. And it's really a problem. You're 28-7 right now. Spurs are 32-15, but you know, that was only your fourth loss at home. But this is a recurring issue right now, and it is very clear after 45 games that you, which is we're more than halfway through the season, it's very clear that the Rockets are going to have to make a consideration about bringing a veteran player on this roster who can, like you said, just start an offense. I mean, basic, just handle the ball out front so Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün do not have to go get started beyond the three-point line all the time and even, you know, extended well beyond the three-point line. This is ridiculous. And Kevin Durant, you know, another 30, this time a 36-minute game. You had a lead. You looked so good in the first quarter. And the second quarter, they closed it. But I just thought yesterday was just really pissed me off. In the fourth quarter, I'm like, what is happening with this team? This looks terrible. They were turning it over. It was a sad sack unit. They weren't moving the ball, sharing the ball. KD was trying to do everything by himself. It just sucked. And they were giving up tons of offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter. Like, they were getting out rebounded. I don't want to say they looked like they quit, but there was something really missing. By the time they got in the midway through the fourth, it was like they were mentally done. It's like they knew their fate was at hand, and it was still a game. And they just went in the tank.
Yeah, and that can't happen. I mean, that was that fourth quarter. But how many fourth quarters has this happened? And now, I mean,
oh, a lot. And you know, and actually, the Rockets had 17 offensive rebounds to 8 for the San Antonio Spurs. It must have all happened in the fourth quarter when they got out-rebounded. Because defensive rebounds, Spurs had 38, Rockets had 29. So 40, what was the total here? 46 to, so the Rockets technically, that's 46-46. It was tied, but in the fourth quarter it was San Antonio was grabbing a higher percentage of boards. And Wembanyama had 18, I think, to start the fourth. Because I was thinking, oh, you know what? I said higher on my underdog commercial yesterday. I said higher, and I think the number was 24.5, something like that. And I said higher, so there's a pretty good chance I'm going to be wrong on that one because I told people that I would go higher. Then by the end of the game, there he is with 28 points. You know, he got to the free throw line and made free throws. Does anyone take longer to shoot a free throw in
no.
the NBA than Alfred
no.
than Victor Wembanyama? My God, they had a commercial between his free throws.
Called the 10-second call on him.
It had to be a 10-second.
Oh, my God, he takes forever. Call the 10-second rule. I mean, he might as well walk with it because they don't call walking and they don't call him for goodness gracious. Shoot the ball. I don't want to stand there and watch your spaghetti arms. Shoot the ball. I mean, we were watching it. You know what? He does. He said afterwards, like Kevin Durant is his favorite player. He emulates his game. He really does.
And he's got. You know, he's got some touch too.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of touch.
He emulates
the free throw
his
line.
Body. He emulates his arms. He
his
emulates
free throw.
His game.
Wait a minute. You mean just emulates his body and arms, just the way he was physically born?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Well, if that's the perfect person, he's not going to emulate Zion
his free
Williamson.
Throws look
he's not built like him.
No.
He's
his
built just like
similar.
Kevin Durant, and he's got a lot of his game in him.
He really does. His shot, there is some similarities to the way they shoot the ball, too.
Yeah. He likes that pull-up, that little 10-foot jumper. He knocks it down. He's really good. He's tough. He's really, really tough. Now, the Rockets have taken care of business with him, but not last night. Not last night. It was, he had 28 and 16. That's the, you can't have that. Can't have that. LP was just miserable in the fourth quarter, and you can't have that either. You know, Amen leading the team with 23 shots is way too much. It's way too much, but they're giving it to him. So you know what he's got to do? He's got to take
that's
those.
What they. But they want that. Like you win if Amen shoots 23 times, you probably win.
Yep.
The other team because it's that's a win. That's a win. If he and what was he like? He was 12 of 20. No,
11 of 23.
You know, from an efficiency standpoint, it looks pretty good. But none of them are going to be threes. So from a point per possession standpoint, that's a win for the other team because he's not going to shoot threes. So you want the guy with the highest amount of shots to shoot the lowest amount of threes, and that's exactly what you get with Amen Thompson. And I don't know. Amen is great when he's just a disruptor, when he's just wreaking havoc. And I don't know. I don't have any answers other than you probably have to go get somebody. I mean, you probably do. You have to. Something's going to have to be done. I don't know how many minutes a game this other guy is going to play that they bring in, but I'm really starting to think that I think it's going to be hard for them to really take a good look for Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka to look at this unit and think, no, this is good enough to win a championship.
Well,
it's just I thought it would be, but it's clearly not because good teams can take them out. And you talked about it in this segment. They changed the way they played Wembanyama, and one change really had a big impact on Alper and Şengün.
Yep. Huge impact. Huge. I mean, it was just totally different in the second half. Nice adjustment by the Spurs. And you know what? It led to a win. Then at the same time, the Cougs were playing TCU.
Yeah. I was flipping back and forth on that one, and that was they were in a battle. TCU never really gave in. The Cougs just kind of outlasted them. Kingston Flemings was Kingston Flemings.
He is. He's really special. I thought the biggest basket of the game, though, the only one that Ramon Walker made, it's a two-point game with 9 minutes, 8:59 to play, and with about 8.5 minutes left, Ramon Walker, this is what I love about the Cougs. I mean, there's a Ramon Walker, a Cedric Lath. There's guys that stay with the program, that don't get to play, and they're there, and they get whatever sparse minutes he's going to give them. They go in there and they play as hard as they possibly can. And Mercy Miller.
Yeah.
And
Master P made no baskets. If you guys are trying to check on that,
no, yeah, his son. Anyway, Ramon Walker hit a three when it was a 2-point game. Made it a 5-point game. They never got closer after that. They never got to under five after that. And I thought it was like probably the biggest basket of the game because they were struggling. That TCU had come back and made it a basketball game, and the Cougs were just, you know, just flailing along. And then Kingston Flemings took over. They put up a graphic at halftime that looks like they think that Flemings is going to be the fifth overall pick.
The what pick?
The fifth overall pick. They got the Kansas Darren Peterson from Kansas. They've got I forget all the names that were on there, but they've got Kingston Flemings being the fifth overall pick, and I could see it. I mean, if you need a point guard,
we do.
I don't know that we've seen better here in Houston, and we've seen some pretty damn good point guards.
Do the Rockets have the fifth pick?
The Rockets don't have the fifth pick, but boy, I wish they did.
I wish they had the fifth pick.
Yeah, don't they have, like, all the Nets and Suns picks? Don't they have that for, like, the next 6 years?
We got the Nets pick still, right?
We still got Nets picks or swap picks or something. I know we do. Let's just get up to number five. Let's just get up to number five.
Let's just get up to Kingston Flemings,
he goes. Wherever Kingston Flemings goes, make sure he's here. Make sure that happens here. 713 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. Lance is in Mobile. There's some guys we got to talk about. We got Mark Schlereth coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Mark Schlereth is going to join us at 7:30, so we got that going on. We'll talk to him. He made a lot of sense the other day about analytics, so we'll talk to him about that and more. But first, you're going to talk about Zadik Jewelers.
Yeah, Zadik Jewelers, I'm about to make a lot of sense. If you were looking for... if you're looking for a way to impress or just to show how much you love someone, Zadik Jewelers is can't miss. And it's been can't miss for, golly, going on about five decades. The Zadik family has been creating memories for people on a regular basis, and they've been right there off of Post Oak this entire time. They got a new location, moved in there just a few years back. It's a beautiful store, 28,000 square feet. The upper area is completely for the bridal process, so, you know, diamond rings and everything else that goes with it. You'd be surprised how they can help you prepare for that engagement and the wedding process, but it's kind of a one-stop shop. I mean, whatever you're looking for, you're looking for luxury watches, they've got it, diamond earrings, diamond pendants, tennis bracelets. You want something as simple as those beautiful hoop earrings. Does she love a certain type of metal, or is there a style, or is there a designer that she loves? They're going to have it at Zadig Jewelers. And if you don't know the answer to these and you're completely lost and you're flying blind, they're the ones who will guide you in, because they have all of the information you're going to need, and they're well-versed at helping, especially helping men make the right decision to impress their women, their wives, their girlfriends, what have you. So make sure the Zadig Jewelers is on your list of things to do when you are looking to take care of the person you love. At Zadig.com, see everything that they have right there and get a feel for what it is that you can do for that loved one. Zadig.com.
ESPN 97.5 and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, John, I forgot the Rockets don't have a first-round pick.
What? Yeah. That's all right. You can package, I know, in the NBA you can package like 2 second-rounders and move up to like the 5th pick or something.
No. No, this isn't the NFL. Nobody cares about second-round picks. People literally wipe their butts with second-round picks. They take second-round picks when they don't want to pick.
Huh.
This isn't great. This isn't great.
It just seems to me that somebody would want the Rockets second-rounder for maybe the 5th overall pick. I don't know. It seems to me that's what it would be. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Any kicks and fumbles coming.
So we had Rockets losing, Cougs winning. If you guys want to talk about those, you're more than welcome. 713.
Longhorns losing. And when I was watching, I was very upset because I saw Auburn fans doing horns down.
What?
Yep. And I've been called Longhorn Lance by my Aggie friends who say I'm always sucking up to the Longhorns and saying great things about them. Longhorn fans don't think that's me, but the Aggie fans believe that I always make excuses for Arch Manning, which that's the first time I've heard that. But, so I'm just going to lean fully into it and say I was upset because I saw many little punk-ass Auburn kids doing the horns down, which you don't know the Longhorns long enough to be doing this, okay? My wife even said, Sooners can do it. I think she begrudgingly allows the Aggies to do it. And she allows the Sooners to do it because, you know, they really hate each other. She says that's their rival, Oklahoma, not A&M. I'm just going by what Longhorns say. But she lets them do it. She doesn't let Auburn do it.
Huh. You can't do that if you're Auburn?
You're not allowed to do horns down unless you are a true rival. You can't do it. And I was thinking about this. No one does hand gestures really anymore. I mean, maybe they do. But the Aggies used to do the thumb thing. They don't really do that. The Cougar, I don't know. It's the Cougar. Is the Cougar hand gesture? The Baylor Bear Sic'em Paul. I don't think they ever. Do they ever do that? I knew what TCU's was, SMU's, University of Houston's. I knew everybody's back in the Southwest Conference days. And I think the only people who do that now, the Cougs will do it some. The Longhorns obviously do the horns up thing. Is some people would say iconic, Longhorn fans would say. So that's why people do that. The U, Dale, you know this. People will do that at games. They'll throw the U upside down. Those are the two most prevalent things that I see get thrown upside down. I have seen games where the Longhorns were not involved in the game and fans were doing, especially Oklahoma fans are doing horns down when they're playing like TCU or they're playing San Jose State. And they flash through the bum, 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 and here's the Taco Bell Live Mas student section. And the kids are doing horns down like they're not even playing Texas.
Doesn't matter. And horns down is universal. I think it should be adopted by, let's say, even baseball teams.
Horns, so like when
Major
Houston's,
League Baseball teams.
So
like
when we're playing the A's?
Game and everybody goes horns down instead of doing the wave.
What if people start doing that at Texans games? Well, what if when we go on the road, the road fans are doing the horns down horns to disrespect down. The Texans.
Yeah.
But they're doing the H's upside down, you know, like upside down H's. Because the H's are substantially different right. than Longhorns.
Well,
they're a lot different.
It happened in hockey, if you remember. The L.A. Kings forward, Adrian Kempe, he was he's Swedish, so I don't know. But he knew that he was in the state of Texas playing the Dallas Stars.
And is that why he did that?
And after scoring a goal.
He did horns down.
He did horns down.
Wow.
That's
You've
right.
made it, Texas. Now you're internationally despised, Longhorns. Great.
I just think it should be something that we should adopt as a community, as a country, okay? Instead of, yeah, like during the national
as
anthem,
a country?
Instead of putting your hand on your heart, you just go horns down. I mean.
Wow. As a, oh, say can you, and just a bunch of horns down.
And everybody goes horns down.
Wow. That seems too much.
All right, Rod. Ron's been waiting. He wants to talk Rockets. Let's get him in here. Hey, Ron. Ron.
No, Ron.
Yep. No, Ron.
There he is.
Hey, Ron.
That was me.
Hello. There he is. Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's up, Ron? Right.
Hey, Ron, turn your radio down.
Turn your radio down. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Turn
the radio.
What's your name?
Down.
Better. We can hear you. Now.
Okay, your radio's Ron. Still up, or you've got it on speaker.
I'll talk to Ron off the air.
Okay. Talk to him off the air.
That's not good. Gary wants to talk about Dan Orlovsky's comments. What do you say, Dan? Or Gary?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Bear with me for a minute. Lance, my uncle coached with your dad on staff a long time ago, and I have a brother on the stick. I don't want to out him, but let me finish. My brother coached on the staff of the Steelers right now until they changed that regime. But he's been there for like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So he won't be there after this. Dan Orlovsky, I just want to talk to you guys. He mentioned this morning on the show that the new Cleveland's coach, he would be surprised if that coach kept Shador on the staff. Now, when he comes, he would be surprised. That's just Dan Orlovsky. And he's not the only one to echo that sentiment. I'm just saying, guys, it hadn't been long ago, and I'm being serious, that African-Americans, that's why I speak on it, was not allowed to play the sport. And then the systemic comments and racism undertone, when he says that, it's almost like when we hear you guys, not all you guys, the minute CJ or somebody does, they got to go. And it's not just y'all, it's Stephen A. Smith, too. But Josh Allen is the offensive line and everywhere else. I'm serious about this. They're not even giving this guy a chance. For him to even think that and put that out there. Now, the coach may not do that, but it just shows your mindset of a bigger problem. We can't stop them from joining or playing the position, but we can do something about it. What gives him that right? I mean, he's an analyst, but he's not the only one that thinks that, guys, that now, the kid hasn't even gotten a shot yet. It just so happened. They don't say that with white quarterbacks.
Okay.
Well, how many
men
in the league?
Wait.
You got to give us examples.
Gary.
You got to give us examples of fifth round.
Okay, hold on a second.
Of white
hold
fifth rounders.
Just a second.
Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. He's a fifth rounder. He played very poorly. Very poorly. He was not a good quarterback. Just because he's Deion's son. Josh Rosen was a first rounder, 15th overall pick. They cut him after one season.
And we didn't care one single thing.
Not one person claimed racism in this thing. If you don't play well in the NFL, it costs coaches jobs. It's not about what color he is. If you're not good, you're not good. I think Shador Sanders could get another year. But saying that Shador Sanders was bad. He was bad.
I think he was below average as a rookie, but I didn't think he was terrible. Like, I still think he's got a chance to be a quarterback who can do something, but this isn't his pick. Like, this isn't Todd Monken's pick. Todd Monken may have gone through the draft process last year and said, oh, I don't think this guy sees the
field
well.
Well, we're starting this, though, over a comment by Dan Orlovsky. We have no idea
I don't know what he said. Dan puts a cape on for a lot of black quarterbacks. You don't want to do that.
Why immediately? It does. Dylan Gabriel was drafted ahead of him, and Dylan Gabriel's behind him. Dylan Gabriel
he didn't get
was
a year.
Told by the organization that they don't know if he's going to be on. He's not sure he's going to be on the team. He was drafted ahead of Shedeur. Why is no one claiming racism towards Dylan Gabriel right now?
We don't protect the rights of Hawaiian quarterbacks.
I mean, it's not racism. Let's stop this. The black quarterback thing is over.
It's got to be okay. It's
got
to be okay. It's got to be okay to have to criticize quarterbacks. Josh, people bring up Josh Allen, the not only the reigning MVP, but a longtime MVP candidate. Lamar Jackson had a bumpy second year, was it? And then he had some, you know, where he couldn't get healthy. And then last year he was phenomenal. We're going to give Lamar Jackson all the graces. It's not a problem. Like, Lamar didn't play well. You say he doesn't play well. Josh Allen don't play well in the postseason. You say he don't play. But you're not calling for Lamar Jackson's head. You would never do that. I wouldn't call for Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has proven it. Now, we can say when guys play poorly. We have to be allowed, Gary. We have to be allowed. And we're going to do it anyway, whether you like it or not, because that's our job. And that's what you would do. You would do this in a barbershop with your guys. You would talk about quarterbacks. And if you thought that a quarterback didn't play well, I wouldn't say that you think he's not playing well because he's a white quarterback. We can all watch the games. If a guy's not playing well, it's okay for you to say he's not playing well. I don't care who he is. I don't care if it's Justin Herbert or whatever. But we've got to be allowed to point out when a guy's not playing well. He's a fifth-round pick. He didn't play particularly well. He didn't flash a lot. I wouldn't call him horrible. But, you know, I still think he's got a chance to be a decent quarterback. I thought there were some things he improved upon. But you have to be allowed to just allow these guys to be quarterbacks and not black quarterbacks.
Yeah, we got to break it. We got to cut it there. We got Mark Schlereth is going to be joining us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. So, Gary, we appreciate it. But, man, oh, man, oh, man, can we stop bringing up that? But can we stop? How long? We're over that you can't play, blacks can't play. We're over that. People just want to win. Just a good quarter. We all want a good quarterback. Who cares what color he is? Goodness gracious.
I've had some thoughts.
Rookie year.
I have some thoughts.
Of course you have
thoughts.
All right, we got a break. And Mark Schlereth is going to join us on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back. Mark Schlereth is going to join us. We got about 5 minutes before he's going to be here, so we got time to take a couple of calls, hopefully. An educated black man is calling right now.
No, I don't think this is going to be a good call at all.
Well, let's see. I don't know. He says he's an educated black man. Let's see. Hey, educated black man, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Okay.
I just want to say, I just have a question. Is there any way we can block Gary from the show on behalf of all black people?
We believe in free speech, Gary.
I'm sick and tired. Bro, I've been listening to this show for about 2.5 years now. Every single time Gary calls, it's a problem with race or anything. If you know ball, if you know football, the whole community, why would you bring up Dan Orlovsky, and he's one of the biggest advocates for black quarterbacks in the league?
I'm
lost for words. I swear I'm lost for words. I'm tired of – Gary, if you're listening, stop the shit. Just stop.
Whoa.
And I'm going to hang up and listen. And Chandler Rivers is the best defensive back in the upcoming
season. Oh, there it is. I remember you.
Yeah. I'm watching Chandler Rivers at the Senior Bowl. Did you get that S-bomb, Dale? Anyway, Dan Orlovsky, you're picking the wrong guy to go after, number one. Number two, yeah, he's probably just telling you, I didn't hear it, but he's probably just telling you he may not get a shot because guess what? He's a fifth-round quarterback. They're not married to Dylan Gabriel, fourth round, or Shedeur, fifth round, and it's a new coach, Todd Monken, and he's a guy that took the job because no one else wanted it except Jim Schwartz. It's like one of the least attractive jobs. So, yeah, I think you have to be able to talk about players. Do you know how many people in the draft last year who I talked to behind the scenes, black and white, who do this, you know, the analysis thing, wouldn't say their actual opinions of Shedeur? And most of them didn't kill him. They just thought, wow, he's being pushed way up higher than he should be. The reason's simple. They were afraid of being called out, being called racist, being called whatever. Uncle Tom's or whatever. I've seen all kinds of stuff. If you didn't, like, I was like, man, are we really not allowed to have honest opinions about players? But that's the thing. So what happened was everyone's like, I don't know, Shadur's, you ought to take a look at him in the top five. And all the mock drafts were afraid not to put it. Now, look, sometimes you just put two quarterbacks in the top two, three, four picks. That's just what you do because a lot of times they'll get drafted like that. Not always they get drafted like that, just like last year. But so what happened was people don't realize they were unwittingly part of the reason why they were so confused on draft day. All these people who do mock drafts, when I put Shadur Sanders late in the first round, when I'm the first one that had him even late in the first round, I had people reaching out to me like, man, thank you for doing that. You know, I can't do that. I'm not ready to take on that amount of pressure. I have friends who I'm close with.
All right,
who
all right Lance, we got to cut it there. All right. We got Mark Schlereth joining us here. Big game's almost here, man.
Yep.
But the Super Bowl, the big game is so fun, right? The day, the friends, the food. It's a big experience. And Mark Schlereth was part of it. Three-time NFL champion. Mark, thank you for joining us. When it comes to the big game, where do we even begin with this thing?
Yeah, you know, I have been part of playing them, but I am part of celebrating them every year, no question about it. We start with the television. How about LG OLED Evo TVs, the world's number one TV for the past 13 years, because OLED TVs deliver perfect blacks, vivid colors, ultra-smooth action, zero blur, and immersive sound. You can bring every snap, replay, and TV right into your living room from 55 inches to a spectacular 97 inches. You can find out more at LG.com. And then every party's got to have wings. Produce air fryer ready crispy wings, restaurant quality at home in just 18 minutes or less. Perfect for your big game party. From the freezer to the air fryer to the plate, it's that simple. Flavors like roasted, hot, and spicy, lemon pepper, crispy on the outside, juicy on the inside, chicken raised with no antibiotics, delicious, high-quality wings. Always a hit. Find out more at Purdue.com. And then finally, time to level up your beverages. Beer and soda are great, but how about wine instead? That's why I partnered with VodaBox. Premium, traditional.
Right in the middle of his spot. Right in the middle of his live spot. It fell out somehow, some way.
I think he's coming back on.
I don't know. We'll see. He got wine. Something happened to his phone. He's back? Okay. Mark, wine? What did you say? Wine?
Wine, you say? Said, hey, Matt, level up your beverages. That's why I partnered with VodaBox. Premium, traditionally made wine, just in a better package. From the 3-liter box to the Voda Minis on ice. You never need a corkscrew. How about try just open and pour. Try the VodaBox Bright Side, a refreshing white blend. It pairs perfectly with all those salty snacks. Find out more at VodaBox.com. So there we have it. Wings, wine, and a TV. Doesn't get any better than that.
No, that's all we need. That's all we need for the game. All
John, right? Before you, I know you're going to get to the analytics thing. Before
I
you
love
do that,
the analytics thing.
I know, but we got to ask. We got to start talking about the Patriot, the actual game for a second, because we wish we had about 30 minutes with you, Mark. But I want to ask you about the Elway documentary. It got a lot of stuff, but let's start with this game. An incredible turnaround from two consecutive four-win seasons. Mike Vrabel comes in. Talk about culture in a locker room. You've been part of it. Offensive line is its own culture, so that's a big culture position. My dad coached and said only certain players can be in an offensive line. You got to be a certain type of player. Talk about culture. We saw a culture shift in Houston with D'Amico, with Will Anderson. What are you seeing from New England with Mike Vrabel and whoever else it was that changed culture there so quickly?
You know, I mean, Mike Vrabel came in, and I did several New England games. He came in. There's a relationship aspect to the way he coaches. He's hard-nosed. He'll tell you the truth. He is demanding. But at the same time, man, he is coaching, and he is connecting with his players. From a Friday practice where he puts on the penny and goes out and plays linebacker on the scout team. And I mean, he is like literally mixing it up with the guys. They absolutely love him. And he said something to me that just resonated with me when it comes to building culture. He said, let's not let good times create weak minds. Like, you have to understand the work that is required to be great. You've got to be able to put the work in the film room, on the practice field. You've got to be able to do the things when nobody's actually watching you. And it's created this atmosphere of, you know, all these guys in this thing together. And I tell you what, they have done a phenomenal job as an organization, not only hiring Mike Vrabel, but Mike Vrabel bringing in the right guys. And I think one of the things you have to understand is oftentimes people get so enamored with talent that they forget that talent only gets you so far. You've got to have character paired with that talent. So, you know, Joe Gibbs, when I played for the Washington Redskins back in the day, used to say, hey, man, talent will make plays in the first three quarters, but great character men win games in the fourth quarter. And that's the balance you have to find. They certainly have found that in New England under Mike Vrabel.
I'm kind of shocked because they didn't play anybody. They were 1-2 against winning teams during the regular season. They got past Justin Herbert. He wasn't very good. CJ was terrible. And then they got through the snow game. They just keep on. But the defense has played so well. They're playing now a different team though, Mark. This Seattle team is loaded and is really, really good. I just don't know that they're ready for this, are they?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's the thing they've heard all year long, right? They haven't played anybody. You know, wait till they play a good team and this, that, and the other. And, you know, they use that as, as part of their motivation. You know, that's the flag they put in the ground every day is nobody believes that we can do this. Everybody talks about our lack of strength of schedule and all those things. I can tell you firsthand, they're a damn good football team. Defensively, they are outstanding. And, you know, it's really interesting to me because I live here in Denver, and 2 years ago, the Denver Broncos were rated as the 31st best team just from a roster standpoint in the National Football League. And I went on every national show that I could go on and basically said, just because you don't know the names doesn't mean they don't have really good players. And, like, I think with New England, that's part of the deal is that because you don't know a lot of the names, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because they don't have that premium pass rusher, they still have guys like Milton Williams, who is phenomenal. They have guys like Robert Spillane, who's a great football player. Christian Gonzalez is unbelievable. So they've got really good players, but they have a damn good team. And they're willing to do what it takes, willing to sacrifice for one another. But I will say this, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, I don't think there's any team that's played better than the Seattle Seahawks. And I'm talking about defensively, I'm talking about special teams-wise, I'm talking about offense, great balance. And a coach told me, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years ago, he said, I was having this conversation, doing a game, and he said, you know what, all you have to do, you want to not know about the depth of a football team and how good and how competitive they are, watch how they cover kicks. Watch how they play special teams. Watch their kick return game. Because when they are exceptional there, they've got a bunch of players that would probably start on other teams. They can't start on this team. So they go out there and absolutely wreak havoc on the special teams aspect of that. And I think Seattle has been phenomenal here down the stretch in special teams, and they were again in the NFC Championship game.
That's a really great point, and that's something. I do stuff in the NFL draft. I'm here in Mobile right now, and one of the things that I always look at is, and I've been taught to look at, is athletes, safety, running back, wide receiver, linebacker, outside linebacker. These are positions that play on special teams, and when you have explosive players at those positions, it means you're building great roster depth. When your special teams is as good as you just talked about, it means your depth is better. It means you've got better athletes. You've got more explosive players. You're not trying to just fill depth positions. You're trying to win in the third phase. And that's a really great point. Offensive line. So I think it's interesting. You got two starters, rookie left tackle Will Campbell, Jared Wilson, left guard in New England. You got Gray Zabel, who had a great Senior Bowl last year in Mobile and is now starting at Seattle. We're Houston Texans fans. We cover the Texans here, Mark. Talk about the importance of building out the fronts, not just the defensive line, but obviously the offensive line. The Texans have figured out the defensive side of the ball. From a selfish standpoint, we need them to get the offensive line right. Can you speak on that? Because I know you've seen the Texans and what they need to do.
Yeah. I will tell you, you know, I did a little tutorial with the Texans offensive line on a Friday practice.
Oh, it was great. That's right. We saw that on Twitter.
During the season. Listen, you know, it's not only having the right guys, having the right attitude, but it's I say this all the time, and people, I don't think people really understand it, but It is the most skilled position in football. And, you know, I say that and people just go, oh, you know, the skilled position, the receivers and all that. And I'm like, dude, I could throw you a football, you could catch it and throw it back to me. If we did one-on-one drills, I'd whip your ass. Like, I have a skill set that I've developed over years and years and years that you don't have. And, you know, you think about it from the standpoint of collectively, we're the worst athletes on the football team. Every play that we play against a better athlete across the ball from us, and we're expected to win 100% of the battles. And if we don't, we suck, and that guy gets one sack, he goes to the Pro Bowl. And so there's a real, like, show me one other position in football where unlike athletes match, or any position, excuse me, in sports, where unlike athletes match up against one another, and the lesser athlete is expected to win 100% of the battles. You cannot find one. You can't. And so that is so much more about technique. It is so much more about how you're going about blocking people, understanding fronts, understanding, you know, insert players, how we're going to block those players, how we get to the second level, how we identify mics, if a safety rolls in, do we have them? Do we turn them over to our slot receiver? If we don't have a slot receiver, do we have to push the front to get to that guy? Like, all these things that are going through your mind while some 320-pound guy is trying to, you know, rip your head off at the same time. And that's where I see the majority of teams failing, the majority of teams not producing on the offensive line. And that's why Seattle is so good. Their O-line coach, their run game coordinator, Rick Dennison, was my special teams coach here in Denver for years and years and years. And then he took over for Alex Gibbs. They are the best group that I have watched in totality of understanding where they're going, how they're getting there, and basically blocking the line of scrimmage first before they get to the second level. They do a phenomenal job. And that, to me, is why they've been set apart.
We know you got to go. You got other shows to do, so we appreciate you being. I just want to tell you your analytics thing the other day with Dan Patrick. I thought was fantastic. I enjoy that you hate nerds. I do. So
yeah. Well, it's a legitimate, but your concern is legitimate. Like, it's not in a vacuum. Every situation's different. It shouldn't just be the numbers that guide it, because these numbers are generated in a vacuum. They're not weather related. They're not. Now, some teams' analytics.
He's got to go, Lance. He's got to go.
Oh,
all right.
Let's just cancel the next one.
All right. Mark Schlereth.
Take care.
We appreciate you. Thanks for hanging with us. All right. There's Mark Schlereth right here on ESPN 97.5. So, yeah, that's good stuff. Good stuff. Mark Schlereth, we appreciate it. And he did his spot, unfortunately. What happened? His phone died or?
I don't know. It was still connected because he didn't have to call back. I maybe accidentally muted. I don't know. But yeah, we never disconnected. It just went out for a little bit.
Yeah. That's good. Good stuff with Mark Schlereth right here. All right. We got your calls. We got people want to talk about Shadur and Gary and all kinds of stuff. But first, we're going to talk a little San Jack.
Yeah, be fearless. San Jack allows you to be fearless. You're looking to change your life. One of the best things you can do is change your job and get into a career. Finding a career path is important. A career means something that you can build on, something that you can potentially rise through the ranks, improve your money, improve your standing, have money to put away. Maybe you have benefits with your career. You certainly have health insurance, things that are going to be important for you and potentially your family and loved ones. That's what a career can be. A job can have you living paycheck to paycheck and barely scraping by. I want you to have something that gives you, you know, an opportunity to enjoy what you do when you wake up in the morning. And San Jack might be the key to unlocking that. They have over 200 different certificates and degrees where they can get you wired into a new career. And all you have to do is just go visit the website, take that first step, and you could be on your way to changing your life. Go to sanjack.edu. That's sanjack, J-A-C, as in San Jacinto Junior College, sanjack.edu. A chance for you to be fearless, change your life, and move forward. sanjack.edu.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, We got a board up here. We got people that want to get in here. 713-780-3776, the number. Thanks so much.
Some people believe Gary is an industry plant that we plant to get people to call.
He is not
an industry plant.
He does get people worked up, that's for sure. Who's first? It's going to be Matthew wants to get in here. Hey, Matthew, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing? My comment is, like, after watching the football play the championship weekend, I sat back and watched those quarterbacks play, and I was like, man, I wish CJ would play like that. And I don't see how anybody can put on for CJ or Shador, seeing how competent quarterbacks look like playing on the field. None of those guys was like Tom Brady or something great. They just didn't turn the ball over, and they played the quarterback game right. So I can't ever see myself if my job was on the line, if I was a coach, I wouldn't want you to do it either, because it's like I might lose my job because I'm putting all this energy into this quarterback that maybe develops. You know, nowadays with this coaching carousel, you can't put your job on the line for a quarterback.
Right.
That's the best point, because 2 years now is a lot of times the runway, three at most. And it's easy to say from afar. See, Matthew just made a perfect point. It's easy to make comments from afar. Just like with analytics, you know, you can say, I'd go for this, I'd do this, I'd do that. Let me know how you think when you get fired and you don't have a job or income anymore. Let me know if you have the same thoughts. Because I promise you what Matthew is saying is true. If you think a quarterback, black, white, tall, short, dual threat, pocket sloth who can barely move around in a pocket, if you think that guy is going to get you beat and get you fired, you want somebody else. That's the nature of the beast. You want somebody who makes you look good.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's your job. Your job is on the line. If he's not good, I don't care what color he is, he's not good. Donovan, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How we doing, Donovan?
I'm just falling in the same line of what y'all saying. As a black guy, it really doesn't matter what color you are. It's who can play the best.
Mm-hmm.
Sports has been the great equalizer. No matter what color you are, if you can play this game and play at a high level and be mentally strong, hey, it doesn't matter what color you are. So Gary and Israel always calling about black and white. Man, miss me, man. Who can play the best? Mm-hmm. If you're white or black. I play sports. Man, I thought I was good until I went up against some white guys that were just as good as me. And I had to give them respect. So it frustrates me when these guys calling, it's CJ's. They hating on CJ because he's black. Man, please. If he was playing on the level and getting us to the Super Bowl, they'll be praising him. So it doesn't matter. When you play bad, you don't get talked about. And when you play good, you don't get the praise. That's all I got, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like a lot of people like Gary talking for them.
Del does.
Del's always said that.
What do you mean? I do? I have said a number of times I don't want anyone thinking that one person speaks for any
us. Do you think I want John?
No, a monolith.
Does John want? Do we want John speaking for the white community?
Well,
no.
I don't know that he does.
Yeah, but
no, he doesn't.
Because generally, you guys, and I say you guys because they're all the same to me, you guys don't need a spokesperson. Because
correct.
You are
we don't think about
you guys are looked at as individuals and have your own opinions.
That's fair.
But,
that's fair.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's fair. I think a lot of people, unfortunately, because they don't have friends or they get stuck in their bubble, they think, I'm going to say this seriously. You think all black people have the same opinion as Gary? Like, they all just went, why can't you just the quarterbacks? Hearing callers right now who don't have the same opinions. Mm-hmm. Trust me. Don't act like everyone has the same opinion of somebody you see on TV or on the internet or on a YouTube channel. That's not true.
Now, you know me growing up. I would rather.
Well, you are a skater. You're way different.
No,
you like Avril Lavigne.
I don't know why that's supposed to be an insult that a woman the same age as me when I was a teenager is a pop star. What, I'm not supposed to like her? Good one,
no.
Lance. Thank you for that.
Aaliyah.
Yeah, great one too. RIP. I would say that as a kid growing up watching college football, I much preferred guys like Stephen Morris as opposed to Ken Dorsey, because one is Why, the other was – never mind that Ken Dorsey won a national title. I'll take Stephen Morris and no 7 in 5 seasons.
Does he have – is his number retired?
Stephen Morris's number?
Yeah.
I don't think – no, 17 is not retired by Miami.
Okay.
No.
Well, he's not as good as Shador. Okay,
that's true. Okay. Actually, no, with no bias, he's not as good as Shador. Shador was a really good college quarterback. But – as far as NFL quarterbacks, they're pretty similar.
Hey, and I get – listen, it's okay to want someone to do well because they look like you. That's okay, that's actually okay, guys. I'm sure there's lots of people who – especially if it's an anomaly, like Reed Shepard, or you have somebody who you're like, hey, there's not a lot of guys who look at it. I hope he does well. If he plays poorly, say he plays poorly. If he plays poorly and somebody who doesn't look like him says, man, this guy is playing very poorly. He is killing the Rockets right now. That's okay, too. Because it's got to be okay to just tell the truth. And I mean, the Shador thing's dumb just because, I mean, we've done this forever, and we've rehashed this over and over. That's just dumb because he's a fifth, there are no fourth or fifth. Dylan Gabriel's a great example. Todd Monken's not going in there trying to rely on fourth and fifth round quarterbacks who aren't as good. Look, I thought Shador should have gone second or third. He hurt himself because he didn't visit with other teams. I've already hashed all that stuff out. But Monken, there's no coaches. Look, I don't think D'Amico would get fired, but I think that, you know, if D'Amico plays poorly next year, my guess is Nick Haley will be gone. You know, I think you'll be on to your third offensive coordinator. And I've talked to some NFL people down here, and we talk about quarterback extensions, and they all say, you know, you got a little bit of a problem there in Houston because – that's, you know, there's two things that are bad. Not having a quarterback, like having a quarterback play poorly, but not having a quarterback at all a lot of times is even scarier. And that's what I'm worried about is that, you know, the worst thing you can have is an average quarterback because you got to pay them elite money and you can't get away from them. The worst thing you can have. If you have a bad quarterback, that's better because at least you know you can get away.
Yeah. No, you.
And I'm not ready to get away from CJ. I'm not saying that.
No, you don't want to be
saying that.
You don't want to be in limbo. On your basketball team or on your or but, with your quarterback.
Yeah, no but you place. Know it's worse, John.
Like the Rockets were in limbo with James Harden.
They were, yeah, but well, but yeah, but you were still getting a Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, but you were never going to get. You were in. You.
I don't.
You were. Just,
I mean, that's okay.
No, it, well, no, it's
Buffalo,
not.
No, okay, it's not. Okay, are you? Okay, then you think the same thing about the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen, who's their best player? They're in limbo. So is that a problem?
Well, listen. Josh Allen still has a chance. You still have a chance with Josh Allen. You never.
Well, you had a. Yeah,
we,
you had
we
a chance
never had
with
a
James.
Chance. James Harden. You
in
don't.
2018. You should have won the whole thing.
But you didn't.
That's. I know, but that's not. Because, that wasn't because of James necessarily. That was an injury. My problem with James is that he had too much control of the roster and the team and the coaching staff, and he wasn't committed to the game.
But Josh Allen
it
has
that
played.
He lost.
Josh Allen should have gotten there. Because, but 17 seconds, their defense can't stop Pat Mahomes. Josh Allen should have gotten there.
Well, that wasn't.
He should have
gotten
there.
Was that an AFC Championship game?
Yes, 13 seconds.
That
to
was
go.
Okay.
I think so. Well, he should have gotten there this year, and he turned the ball over.
Well, he
times.
Turned the ball over. So but there were other games he played great. And his defense didn't
understood,
help him out.
Josh Allen's a heavy turnover guy in games as well. But so there's a back
he's
and forth.
He's a great player. But James is a great player too. James just wasn't as committed. James has a number. The rumor
except
is
in elimination games.
Right, I understand that. He didn't play well. Josh Allen's had some turnovers. James gave you a legitimate chance. I mean, the limbo I'm talking about is having to pay $50 million to Trevor Lawrence, to Kyler Murray, to quarterbacks that you know. And now Trevor had a pretty good year this year. Now he didn't play well in the postseason. You know, maybe we'll be saying the same thing about Justin Herbert. If his offensive line is healthy next year and he still is crapping the bed in the postseason, we're going to have that conversation about, man, look how much cap space this guy is eating up. And that's a nightmare. So you don't want to be Kirk Cousins. You don't want to be tied to Kirk Cousins and know, man, we're paying top of the food chain money for an average dude.
Right. We got a break. We're up again. It's 804 ESPN 973-780-3776. We got guys who want to get in here. We'll talk a little Rockets on the other side with a caller. We'll do that. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.